I think that interacting with people who might not be the obvious choice for you to interact with is going to broaden your horizons and going to, you know, bring you face to face with how certain people live who you might not have any experience with.
The world is a real carnival of horrors right now, or perhaps it's always been. And that's why I make this show. You know, it's not to give people good stuff so they can forget about all the horrible things, but it's so that I can get some people I love to talk about the things they think make this murder circus a circus worth the price of admission. This episode was a really special one for me for that reason. I got to sit down in the booth with one of my best friends in the world and talk about how good it can be to just try and be nice to people on occasion. I don't think a little more niceness will heal the world or anything like that, but it does bring people together. And bringing people together may be the only way to get some OSHA regulations passed at this nightmare county fair we all can't seem to escape. And maybe that might make things better. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to At Least There's This, a podcast about some of the small good things in our world of hurt. What's going on right now? Today is election day in my world. I hope it's not election day where you are, because that would mean that we've had some cockamamie shit go down. Provisional elections. I don't know. Maybe it's some sort of runoff in an Aaron Sorkin movie. I hope that's not happening. What is happening right now is people are coming back from the polls. Everyone is stressed. Everyone's tired. I'm in LA, but I think I have seasonal affective disorder because I've been sad all day for no reason. I'm just a sad boy. But in a world where everyone is crossing their fingers, waiting in line at the polls to hope their votes count, at least there's...
Strangers.
God damn it, I told you not to do it sexy.
You didn't say not sexy, you said do it loud enough.
But that usually, you can't be loud and sexy.
Strangers.
Oh, I like it when you touch me like that.
Who are you?
Guys, hi. I'm with a veritable nobody. I am with an actor you've maybe seen in a couple of commercials.
I have fewer social media followers than anybody else you've had on this podcast.
Guys, I'm with my best friend in the whole world, someone I love and hate very much, Mr. Nathaniel Moore. We also have engineer Sammy in the booth. You might have just heard their podcast episode on this show about beer pong. We've decided that this is the episode where Sammy can finally talk if they want to.
Yeah,
okay, they can't talk anymore.
Welcome back, Sammy!
Yeah, I like strangers too!
Okay, Sammy, your rights have been revoked. You're
fair.
Back in the corner.
Totally fair.
All right, Nathaniel, yeah. Hey, you've been listening to this podcast as long as it's been going on,
yeah.
Wanting to chime in, and now it's your turn to shine, baby.
Yeah, and I just don't feel like I have anything to say anymore. Great. It's all been said.
Well, that's been the podcast. I know that a few people listening to this might like the new tone, but for those who chime in for deep philosophical wisdom, they're probably like, what the
fuck?
You
can just go ahead and skip this episode.
Just plus 15 seconds it all the way to the end.
Yeah, there's nothing for you in this one.
Absolutely not. But speaking of there being nothing for you, which is a fairly pessimistic outlook.
Yeah.
Nathaniel Moore, are you, as a person, an optimist, pessimist, neither, your own damn thing?
Oh, man, I forgot to think about this one. I would say that I'm probably a kind of optimistic realist. Like, I think compared to you, I am 100% an optimist.
I find that hard to believe because I feel like compared to you, I'm 100% an optimist.
Really?
You, well, continue and then I'll chime in.
Well, I mean, you've certainly known me at some low points and you've known me at some very high points. I think the topic that I chose in and of itself necessitates being an optimist. at least in certain regards. Like, I really do believe in other people. Like, I really think that other people are mostly not pieces of shit.
Okay, in that place, you and I differ.
That's our opposite.
Right, we're on the opposite side of the Kinsey scale on that.
Yeah. Is there a Kinsey scale for just whether
for being a nice
isn't that
person?
Mostly sex stuff?
No, I just mean, like, you can be completely gay, completely straight. Most people are some sort of shade of gray.
Well, you know, yeah. It can come all the way back around. it's actually a circle.
It's like being such a fascist that you just become a liberal.
Yeah. That's a real thing.
Which is what we're hoping for with Trump right now.
No.
It'll not happen. Yes, no, I very much am a misanthrope. I'm not a fan of new people. And so that way, you and I are definitely different. But do you think that that is completely an optimistic outlook, or is it optimistic with a cat? Like, just in that situation, it's optimistic.
With people, you mean?
Are you just optimistic when it comes to people, or are you also an optimist in general?
I feel like I have to be. I am an actor, so, like, if we looked at this from a statistical point of view, like... No. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's like a bad idea. Right. You know what I mean? If you really wanted to, like, play your life by statistical odds and decide, you know, like, what was the best option? What was the most likely to have a good outcome? Like, being a professional actor is not really a great idea.
It's like hedging your bets that you'll be struck by lightning 6 times.
Right. Exactly. So in that way, I feel like even though I don't always feel like an optimist, I feel like I've gotten to this point in my life where I'm like, well, I'm doing stuff that only an optimist would do.
Fair. So you're like an optimist. Even if you aren't, you're sort of acting the part of an optimist, which that actually is sort of the way you live your life. Because
how do you
your
mean?
Body, this is a thing I know having insight to you as a person, you will walk the path of like, just going to keep doing this stuff while you'll be like, this isn't going to work.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Especially like in, I don't have a good example for this, but I will totally be miserable for like banging my head against a wall. Like I will give something a really, really good shot. I will continue showing up someplace. Right. And in a lot of cases, it has worked out for me. You know, like, there are a lot of cases where I think you would have just bailed on something that I will just keep showing up to. And, yeah, you too, Sammy?
No, yep. But I was saying Sammy and I were having a conversation about exactly this before you came in the booth.
I can think of 2 things. One, I don't want you to be offended by.
Too late? Continue.
Like, friendships.
Yes, absolutely.
There are people who... Now it goes both ways, because there are people who you definitely are like, yeah, you know what? Fuck this person. I don't, you know what? They were shitty. I'm done with them. And I, on the flip side, am willing to like just be treated like crap forever. No, but more than that, like if somebody's going through a hard time, I'll let them go. Not to say that I'm not implying that you're not there for people, because you have 100% been there for me in times of garbage.
Thank you for saying that on mic. We, no, like I have a threshold. I feel like if you are a mid-level friend, I'm still cool quitting you, where you will not. If
I will not. That's a really good way of putting it, because you're extremely loyal to your top level friends.
Right. To my, like, my circle of Avengers.
Yes. Yeah. But like, I don't know. Who's like one of the second tier Avengers?
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, Hawkeye. Honestly.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. Right. Yeah. Like Hawkeye, like, you know, Hawkeye does something shitty. You're like, you'll cut him out.
I don't need you, Hawkeye.
You don't have any real powers.
Yeah, what do you bring to this party?
You have no real powers.
And I wouldn't say anything mean to them. I just would stop returning Hawkeye's texts.
Or even, I don't think you wouldn't. Would you not return texts? Or would you just kind of stop reaching out?
I would stop reaching out.
That would be the first phase.
I would ghost them. The same way you would ghost a person you were tired of dating, I would ghost them. Where I feel like you would not. And you are a... I think you have a much fuller deck of cards than I do because of that.
Of humans?
Yes. Yeah. Humans are objects.
It can also be exhausting, though, to have a lot of people that you feel beholden to.
So why do you do it?
Oh, man. Well, doctor. No, I find oftentimes there's been certain occasions where people have been crappy for a while and I will kind of pull back on them. And then later on, I'll like reach back out and I'm like, and we've once again had great relationships. Yeah. And then there are other people who just continue to be garbage. And I think my evolution is learning when to just be like, you know what? Okay. I'm just going to, this person really just dragged to trash. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, it doesn't have to be violent. It's just, they're okay. They're out of my mind. I don't think about them anymore.
Yeah. And that's just also hard for me to do. Like I clearly feel responsible for the people in my life as friends.
Mm.
And I feel like it's necessary for me to take care of them. I mean, right or wrong.
Where does that come from, you think?
I don't know. I you know, both my parents are in mental health. I don't think I can be like, well, they take care of people, so I take care of people. It probably bears some deeper... Do you have a theory?
Maybe it has something to do with you being the younger brother, trying to prove, you know, your worth, or like make everybody have a good time.
Make everybody like me?
Yeah, make everybody like you.
Yeah, probably.
Which is something that I think you and I can connect well on. I think that's the difference between you and I.
You think that's what we connect on?
Well, I think we both have that, and you're like, I'm going to be so good at it.
I see what it is.
And I'm like, I hate that I want this. And so instead, I'll shoot my nose to spite my face and just not have any friends.
See, I'm glad you said that, because what I thought you were going to say is that I really want everyone to like me and you're always just giving me enough.
Oh, yeah.
You're like keeping me on the hook.
Just,
you
know, enough.
Just come on. Come on, baby. Oh,
that's
come
how I
on,
get
baby.
You to do what I want.
Yeah, exactly.
Like stay in my house for 3 months. You know, do what I want.
You know, what you want.
He's been a wonderful guest, actually. He's taken better care of the home than I have. But we're not just talking about friends in general. That isn't why we're doing this podcast. No. We're here to talk about strangers. And stranger danger. Stranger danger is not a joke. If you are in danger, please find somebody to help you feel safe. Sam, you're not allowed to let me get away with that bullshit.
I'm sorry. I'm hardly listening.
Okay.
Sammy is just, they're just, I don't know, texting via their computer.
Huh? No, they're playing a video game.
Oh,
probably.
Okay. Well, that I can respect.
I love how you attach optimism to your feeling, to your attraction to new people and strangers, because I think that is very optimistic. I know myself and a lot of other people have very pessimistic outlook on new people. I think this might be one of those just like bathroom wall statistics where it's like you saw it somewhere.
Yeah,
and you're like,
and you're,
I guess that's
assumed
true.
That was the truth.
Right. Yeah. But like after, I don't know, 30 or something, men stop making new friends. And I think that will never be the case for
you. You have one more year.
You have one more year. I have 1.5 more years.
This is why I'm putting in the time.
To make new friends now so you can start to sort them out. But there is something super optimistic about, oh, hey, this person, they might be cool.
Yeah.
So why strangers? What do you feel when you meet a new person?
I think it's kind of a potential energy, or there's a potential that something great could happen. And in my life, and I'm probably lucky in this way, worst case scenario, just nothing special happens. You know, nothing really exciting happens. And then I just keep going along my way. But sometimes really amazing things happen, and very rarely bad things happen. But on the whole, I'd say it's on like the upper half of the spectrum of good versus bad. You know, it's like neutral, right, or it's better than neutral. And that also probably comes from the fact that if I have an awkward interaction with a stranger, I don't count that as a negative experience. And I know that for a lot of people, like having, you know, doing a stranger tango with somebody as you're coming in and out of a store is a, like, oh my God, I hate myself. You know, for me, I get a lot of joy from that.
That, why? How?
I think there's something really funny. I think people are silly. I think how they interact is really silly. And to have a moment where, you know, you and a person coming out of a grocery store, you're both trying to go the direction and you're hopping back and forth and you do that stranger tango. And then there's like a moment where you you can acknowledge that, oh, we're both people.
There's
recognition. Yeah, we both did a silly thing and we can smile about it and move along our way.
Okay, this is going to come from a weird place. But do you feel like having this moment with this stranger is a kind of recognition that you exist?
I've never thought about it that way. I don't think it's probably the reason I do it. I'm sure it's just like a little dopamine kick.
Okay.
You know, it's like a little scratch in my itch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say yes, but I don't think it is.
Don't say yes, because I'll tell you why.
Because those are the moments I don't think about whether I exist.
Okay, right, because you're like
I'm stuck in the moment.
Your head that brings you in the moment.
Yes, exactly. Okay. It is in some ways like meditative almost, because I'm just like, oh, now I'm having a social interaction and I'm just keying in on this other person, even for the most minute micro moment. And I am no longer, you know, grinding inside my head.
So there's something I see whenever I see you meet a new person. And I've seen that a lot I brought Nathaniel to his first burn. Mm-hmm. And now every time he's been to Burning Man, he's been with me. Mm-hmm.
And
also at the climbing gym. And honestly, just in general, you can't stop. You can't turn it off.
No.
It suddenly becomes a creative moment for you, because like I know you, so just hey, what's up, I'm here, right? And we're like really good friends there, so there isn't the same level of like, what's new, what are we gonna find out, what's this new thing here,
right? But with like hanging out with you is boring.
It's really
boring. I know all the answers.
All the answers already, and they're all they're all melancholic and sad.
They're garbage,
right? They all suck. But that's not the case. It's just like we have to we're creating something, and it's always beautiful when we make stuff together because we're good at creating stuff together. But when you meet a new person, for you it feels like it feels kind of like when you run across a river only on the stones, where you're just very much in the moment. And I noticed that in you, where there's a presence to like, it's almost like doing improv, but it's not annoying.
I was going to say riffing.
Yeah, it's riffing.
It's like when you're on fire with your friends. And,
right.
And that's like the best kind of stranger to meet, is somebody who you connect to. It doesn't have to be comedic. It doesn't have to be snappy. But, you know, that tossing of the ball, the volleying back and forth could be just as much, you know, kind of like a deep, slow, quiet connection. If it was a more serious moment that you had a connection with somebody in, you know, that it doesn't have to have the snappiness of riffing.
Right.
But it's this, okay, you are having a moment, I'm having a moment, we're having this moment together.
I feel
beyond that.
Well, not just be, but you're creating, even when you're having those moments, right, even if it's like a slow, somber moment, or like, I don't know, a weird like hippie dance moment, whatever.
Sure, sure.
Those moments, you're like, you're still creating, you're finding something that wasn't there before.
Yes.
Right? Because like it didn't exist. This like connection, this conversation didn't exist before you and this stranger started talking.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, without fail, it has, not without fail, but it often leads to really, really cherished experiences for me.
Can
like for example, this weekend, I went by myself to Point Doom. I told you a little about this.
Well, you told, but you.
So you guys all know. You guys all know.
Right.
So you know. Anyway, so that experience.
Okay. Start again. Tell Sammy.
So hey, Sammy, hey. So this weekend I went to Point Doom by myself, and all I knew was that there was a hike.
Point Doom is a beautiful beach in Malibu. Cliff over a beach. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. What I had been told is, oh yeah, there, you do some hiking and then it's to the beach. It's actually not really much of a hike. It's more just kind of like a walk around. But I went out there. I parked. I brought some snacks. I walked around. And I spent a big chunk of the time alone. But then at around sunset, there were on Point Doom itself, which is it's like a big rock outcropping into the sea. There are people who were climbing. And I started climbing in a gym, like rock climbing, about, I don't know, like 2 months ago. Two and a half months ago.
We started together.
Yeah. And I've been wanting to do outdoor climbing. I've talked to people in the gym about it. You know, where do you go? I really didn't think there would be the opportunity to climb in California before I went back to New York. And, you know, but I was out there. I met this as I was climbing past some people. I started talking. I was, oh, how's the climbing today? We got chatting. We had a lot in common. And they, you know, they invited me back to like go camping with them. I couldn't do that. I had to feed Alex's cats.
Yeah.
Apple and mattress.
Nobody here knows anything about my cats and they don't care.
Anyways, but and they said, you know, look, hey, we're closing, you know, we're taking down our ropes right now, but come back tomorrow and you go climbing with us. And I said, okay. And then I did. And I got to climb on the most beautiful rock face with waves crashing below me. The first time I've ever gotten to climb outside on real rocks rather than, you know, handholds screwed into a wall. And it was something I'd wanted for my trip in California. And it just became possible because I was kind and friendly with some strangers and took the time to listen about, you know, what their day, oh, what about your dog and so forth, you know. And I'm really, really glad I did. And now we're connected. And they're like, next time you come out here, we'll take you climbing elsewhere. You know, oh yeah, there's this spot, there's that spot. You start creating a community.
Yeah. I mean, that's really cool. Why do you think that that's a thing that's unique to you? Or not unique to you.
I mean, I don't think it is.
Why do you think that that's a thing that is not common? Because I really don't think that that's normal. I don't think my level of, like, misanthropy is the normal level either, but I don't think that
people
are...
Yeah, but you do it more than you would. Like, I think I have rubbed off on you, is the truth.
You have been staying with me for 3 months. No, I do it more when I'm with you.
You don't do it at all when I'm not around.
If I was out at Point Doom by myself, I would have opened up a book and just, like, sat back and read or something.
Mm.
Because I don't really like engaging with strangers. And I think, again, it's a spectrum, but I feel like at least the fact that I haven't met more people who are outright extroverts is because maybe there aren't...
You think there are fewer extroverts than there are introverts.
I think to the level that you are an extrovert.
Right, because I do recharge. Like, I can be feeling crappy and low.
Yeah.
And if I have, like, a great interaction with a stranger, I feel boosted.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I'm the opposite, where I need to, if I've been talking to people for too long,
yeah, you
I
need
have
to, like, go in your room and right, do whatever, like, you, yeah, not be near me because I'm living on your couch.
Right. I need to just shut the door
and be like, God, he's leaving soon. He's leaving
soon. I'll have my whole house to myself. Yeah, once my girlfriend leaves.
Oh, no.
Edit that part out, Alex.
No, I'm not editing that part. She can hear it.
Yeah, Michelle. That is your name?
It's not.
It's not.
I don't know who's living with
me. Who's Michelle?
What is... Okay, back on point.
What point?
God damn
point
it.
Point Doom!
Okay, thank you. This is why I didn't want to have you on. I know there are lots and lots of extroverts in the world, but to the level of extroversion that you display, mm-hmm. I don't know if that is common.
Okay.
So... I guess what I was going to
ask... Is that a question?
No, I had a question, okay, and then we did a bunch of bullshit, and now I'm trying to get back to it. Why do you think people aren't like you?
Because I think most social interactions are scary for most people. And I think humans, typically when a bad thing happens to us, we value that event higher than a positive event. You know what I mean? It's probably some bullshit evolutionary psychology or something.
But I've heard that.
Yeah. And I think in a lot of ways that's true. You know, you can have 10 great experiences with, you know, doing something, and then one bad experience with it will sour it for you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really like shellfish. Or no, I mean, sorry, scallops specifically. I ate them many, many times, and then I had a bad batch of scallops once. And now I just don't like scallops, period. Right. Like, that's not really fair to scallops.
Yeah, statistically, you know what I mean? The scallops have been really good to you.
Right,
if you only
right.
had one in your whole life of eating scallops.
Yeah, that was, like, you know, bad, and it's probably not the scallops' fault. It's probably the chef's fault. You know, but we immediately attribute a bad experience to that.
Right.
And maybe even the way we're taught, you know, stranger danger. Okay, I don't really know how much strangers are hurting us. I mean, I assume that's mostly for children, but I guess we hold on to that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, for the most, like, I'll ask anyone for directions, and it's never gone wrong. Like, the worst right. thing that happens is they're like, ah, I don't know. And I'm like, yeah, fuck this person. Okay, how about you? Can you give me directions? Like, I don't see in the same way that I guess a lot of people do the potential negative outcome.
And I
realize there's like a privilege in that as well.
Right. That let's do our quick we are both white men caveat.
Mm-hmm.
We're both white men.
Caveat.
Okay, moving on.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Am I answering your question?
Yeah, I think you're answering it quite well. There's a thing.
I don't know why there aren't more people who like strangers.
There's something I keep circling back to whenever I think about you and strangers, especially off of this optimism conversation we had. And that's that it feels like you interacting with a stranger gives you a chance to be a better version of yourself.
Me, Nathaniel, or me, you, like you.
You, the collective? No, I mean you, Nathaniel, specifically.
Yeah.
Like, it gives you the chance to be the you really like to be.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I really get a kick out of meeting strangers, and I get a kick out of knowing I made a new friend.
Do you like letting people know who you are? Like, is that important to you that, like, this person who didn't know about me knows who I am now? Or rather, that could sound selfish, and that's not what I intend, but it could be the other way around, too.
Right.
This person who I did not know exist, I now have, like, we've created a relationship.
I like what you've been saying about creating something together. Mm-hmm. That strikes more of a chord with me than the other idea it feels like you're circling around, which is that I, like, want to be known. You know what I mean? To affirm myself,
your existence.
My selfness, you
right.
know what I mean?
I was trying to go there without the sort of solipsism or, like, selfishness that also can kind of go along with that, because I don't find your interaction with strangers selfish, but it does seem like, getting to learn about yourself doesn't have to be a, like, I want you to know about me. It could be, like, what do I know about me through this interaction?
But a lot of it is also learning from them.
Right.
Like, I get a lot. Like, it is not an, like, unselfish act. Me. Like, I, talking to people at the climbing gym, I learn about places to climb. I'm banging my head against a specific climbing problem. And if I just, like, befriend this guy who's clearly better than me, or, you know, somebody who's nearby me, and I'm saying, oh, you know, I'm working on this one, who are you, blah, blah, blah. They'll be like, oh, yeah, I did this. I put my foot there. Now I have an answer. I've I'm squeezing information from them that I wouldn't have had prior. And I don't know how I would have gotten it. Like, I do believe in getting people's advice directly.
Yeah, that is,
like, I do.
That is interesting.
I will do a thing that I'm sure annoys the hell out of you, which is I will ask to a degree, because I have been a waiter, I will ask a waiter what they think of something.
I don't actually, that doesn't really annoy me.
Oh, really?
No, because I feel like that is, if someone has expertise in something,
sure,
and they're talking to you,
sure,
because it's a waiter's job to at least interact with you somewhat. I'll never ask them about their day. Right. Like, no, you got shit to do. Like, yeah. Hi, thank you. But asking someone, like, what's actually good, I think that's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're not a stranger. They're a waiter.
Okay. So
they're categorically different.
Were we strangers when we met? Does that qualify? Because we were connected through, like, a school group?
I would say we were basically strangers when we met. I've actually talked about how Nathaniel and I met on one of my annoying intro pieces on the podcast.
I felt so good. I was like, oh yes, he finally talked about me.
It was on the rats episode, I think, wasn't it?
Sure. I don't know. I cut it out of the rest of the episode. Now I just listen to
you
it.
Just carried around in your pocket. But we both studied abroad together in London, and I was part of two different programs, and my program didn't really know Nathaniel at all, but like, he seems like he's flirting with everybody because he's so friendly. And they're like, that guy is always flirting with everybody. Like, I don't like him. And I was like, just another person I don't have to meet? Awesome. So I never talked to him until we were at a party. And I was chatting with a lady who was very pretty and so tall.
That's really the key element here.
She was twice as tall as she was pretty. And she was very pretty. And and I was enjoying talking to her, and Nathaniel just came up to us.
Well, I think it's really important to point out that Alex really felt like he had a shot.
I'm
not saying he didn't. I don't want to deliver that in a way that says he didn't have a shot.
But I didn't, but I felt like I did. And more importantly, it was just, it was a chance to be around a woman. And that was new for me. And so we came around and started talking. It was like, oh no, he's going to try to steal my shot. And so he was like,
that's what men are. They're just a challenge.
They're just something to beat for the prize that is a tall, pretty lady's attention. And
America.
Did
that bum you out that too much?
That bummed me the fuck out.
Let's get back into the story. You're on fire.
So I'm trying to like get him to just leave us alone. He's like, yeah, I like art. I like a whole lot of these different things. And I'm like, I don't know anything about art. Like, please leave us alone. And so he's like, cool, I'm going to take you to an art museum tomorrow. And I was like, does that mean you'll leave? And so I said yes. And then Saturday was the only day I slept in at like the study abroad program because I was such a loser. I would wake up at 6 every morning to practice Tai Chi in the park. And I still suck. I have not ever gotten to be a cooler person. And so he just like busts down my door. He's like, come on, we're going to the museum.
Well, actually your shitty roommate was like, hey, somebody's here to see you.
Right. But whenever I called him a roommate, he got so mad because we didn't live in the same room. We lived in the same flat.
Oh, yeah. I'm your flatmate?
Such a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But then we.
Are you listening? I don't even remember.
He doesn't know me. Then we went to a museum and we had a pretty good time.
And then we were friends.
Yeah. Then we were friends ever since.
You're welcome.
You're right. You are welcome. Thank you. Because you're my best friend and it was important that you did that.
I'm glad.
But that's something that, like, we wouldn't be friends if you weren't like you are.
Actually, you telling that story made me think of something, which is that point in my life in London, I was miserable.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, you mean like life. No. but like I really had a rough time in London.
Oh, I remember. Right.
You probably understood that more fully later on.
Definitely.
You
seemed very cheery then.
Yeah, because that's how I make strangers like me. But I was having a really hard time, and my way of dealing with that was like to reach outside myself. I would like go to every play. I would go to every museum. It was like if I just like put raw energy into just – like, my idea of a self-care, especially at that point, was just, like, do more things, you know?
Yeah.
It was never, ever, take some moments to yourself and read a book. Or, like, it's okay to stay in and watch a movie. That was, like, a bonkers concept to me.
I think we both have very similar, like, melancholic streaks and very different ways of handling it.
Yeah. And so that, for me, like, again, when I reach outside myself, that's my first impulse when I'm bummed out. And now, as I've gotten older, I've, like, learned to just chill out sometimes. And it's okay to, oh, I said I go to this play reading every Tuesday. It's okay to skip it sometimes. And sometimes I need that reminder, but I feel like it's a parallel with how I interact with people. It's like there might be something good in anybody out there.
But do you also now feel like it's okay to not interact with everybody?
Yeah, there's a lot of garbage people and I don't
need them. Okay. But do you still have the same energy you had at 22 to, like, just go up and talk to strangers?
It's funny because I wasn't aware that I was somebody who liked talking to people I didn't know at 22.
You just did it?
I mean, I guess I probably did it. Yeah. I'm aware that it's something I do now. And in large part, probably because you have, you know, held a mirror up to that behavior of mine.
Well, also, I think Burning Man
and Burning
held
Man
that mirror up
certainly,
to you.
Yeah. You know, it was like that was, you know, Burning Man, you have a moment where everybody is like, oh, I can just be friends with every. It's kind of like you're already friends with everybody. You're like a baseline friends with anybody you meet. And I was like, oh, this is easy. Like, I've been doing this, and it makes total sense that any one of these people is somebody I shouldn't be afraid to talk to. I just never went back.
Right. It clicked something for you, where for me, the thing that clicked was, like, the immediacy where, like, oh, I don't want to be here. I can leave.
For sure. And there are times when you and I are hanging out, and we've been at the Burn, and I'm talking to, you know, somebody, you're just like, I don't really want to talk to this person, and you'll bail.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
I got a bike and open desert, baby. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
You know who's fun to talk to? Myself.
Yeah. And I will keep talking to that, you know, mother of eight from Utah.
Until you make a long-lasting friend who's going to inform you about who you'll be for the rest of your life. Okay, let's play with this big and little G concept that I like playing with. Because I think we've been talking about the little a lot. But is there any way you can extrapolate this out to society, the world, maybe even social ills and, like, a cure for them?
I mean, I honestly didn't really think about this that much. I think it would be very easy for me to say a bunch of Pollyanna crap. You know what I mean?
You almost said polyamorous crap.
Polyamorous crap. Look, we just got to have sex with each other. Everybody, just open relationships.
But
and,
stay connected emotionally to people, too. That sounds exhausting.
Yeah, see, that sounds like a terrible idea, too. Right. I think that it is undeniable that reaching outside your comfort zone is a good thing for most people. I think that interacting with people who might not be the obvious choice for you to interact with is going to broaden your horizons and going to, you know, bring you face to face with how certain people live who you might not have any experience with. And I know for a fact there have been other people on your podcast, or maybe it's somebody who's on your podcast who has their own podcast that now I listen to instead of your podcast. I can't remember. They have talked about, like, what changed me, what allowed me to be an open-minded person who, you know, doesn't have closed-minded conservative ideas.
Oh, are you talking about Robert Evans?
Robert, yeah. And I remember specifically he was like, what changed that for me? Was this on the podcast?
On my podcast.
Yeah. It was like I left my small town and I started interacting with people who were not, you know, there are strangers who come into your life because you're in the same class. You know, you go to college or you go to get a job somewhere, and those strangers are by virtue of their position in that structure. Okay, now they're your coworker or your classmate. I think they still count. And I think if you kind of lean into that beyond just somebody walking down the street, which is like stranger classic.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You prefer stranger. You're talking now about stranger light. Strangers
stranger
that,
light
yeah.
versus stranger classic. Stranger classic is you happen to be in the same physical location yeah. as somebody.
I like stranger with a hint of lime where they squirt you right in the eye.
Yeah. Right in the eye. I forgot what I was saying.
You're talking. You were.
I hoped if I just looked at you, you would like pick it up with something.
Something.
You
meaningful?
Just derailed me with a squirt in the eye. You.
Sammy, what were we talking about?
Sammy, you're a stranger.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Do
Nathaniel? You have thoughts on this?
Yeah, I do actually. Do you think it's an addiction?
Oh, Sammy, thank you. That was a good
Sammy.
Question.
I don't think it's an addiction.
I think no. it is.
Oh, okay.
Well, you just said that it's a little squirt of dopamine. I'm the same kind of way. I get real jazzed off people, especially if like there is that like rolling banter where you're like, oh, hell yeah. Like, and then you know
is
both.
Is that fair to
both
call
both
that an
away.
Addiction?
I think so. Yeah, you keep on doing it.
You keep on eating every day? Going yeah. in the bathroom, sleeping.
I am sure, addicted to peeing.
But there's I mean, you mentioned it earlier. Sure. It was like that's like
a little kick
get,
of dopamine. Sure.
Yeah, you get a little high
or
off
serotonin
of it.
Or whatever.
I feel like that is a little bit of a person addiction, kind of.
Okay, I'll take it. I think as far as addictions go, not too bad.
Not bad. No.
It could be worse. Yeah, you don't have to destroy Columbia for your addiction.
What do you? What?
Well, you could if you met the right strangers
or the right yeah. Colombians. You're just a horrible person who happens to love meeting strangers.
Yeah.
Everyone in Colombia is just so tired of this one person.
Right. Well, that's Pablo Escobar, I think, is who we're talking.
Oh
about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When he befriended everyone
in
Colombia
with money and guns
and fear. Yes.
Yeah, and fear.
So what do you think is do my job for me. What do
cool.
What do you get out of you get the same thing I get. You get this dopamine kick, mm-hmm. you get a little kind of spring in your step.
Mm-hmm.
You have like a nice fun story to share. What is the large G?
The large G about doing that stuff?
Sure. Or strangers.
Meeting strangers, strangers in general, that there are strangers.
That
there are so
strangers.
Many chances for this.
Well, I feel like I'm going to contradict your answer.
Oh, please
from
do.
Earlier. It was just like, I think that it's fun to know that you shared a moment with somebody and now you're like kind of plugged into their brain.
What do you mean by that?
So yeah. In the sense of like what Alex was saying earlier, your question about, does it like make you feel like you exist?
Mm-hmm.
Or like something similar about that? Like, that's what it feels like. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I am now a part of that person's life and they can... And so, like, this is like, oh, cool, like, now that person, there's another person who's thinking about me.
Mm. Well, I will say there are different kinds of interactions. There are some where I feel like I brought the magic into somebody's mm-hmm. life, you know, or you're at a party somewhere and you come and you do something really exciting and crazy or you make a silly face and everyone's like, who is this person? And then you just disappear. That's one kind of rush versus like a connection rush.
Sure.
I don't know if you have that same experience.
No. I like the connection things, but there was also something I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Do you value the snip snappy connection more than the like quieter, calmer connection?
I would not say so. No.
No?
I don't
Do
think
you,
so.
Sammy?
I think it really just depends on the conversation.
So then, no, it sounds like you don't specifically value one more than the other. You value them both for different reasons.
I think there are different highs.
Yeah.
Because the snip-snappy one, you can like be like, oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But then you can like totally forget about it because it's probably that kind of a connection is like finding where your baseline like sense of humor is and just like play off of that. So it kind of becomes something that's like, you already have that in your back pocket. Be like, oh, this person's this kind of thing. So, like, I can say all this stuff.
You're this is familiar. You're kind of a comedy, snappy person.
But hold on to your thought, because I want to hear it. But I think that lets you do new shit, because it's like playing jazz. Like, yes, I have this comedy styling shit that I like, and this person seems to be on the same level, but they aren't, like, I've honed all of these bits with my friends from college, and they're a little bit different, so they're going to add something new to the mix, and that could be fun.
Alex.
Now, I don't think that, because I hate strangers, but...
Alex, let me ask you something. Yeah. Do you think that I have, like, just a handful of bits, and then I just pull them out for different strangers? I'm like, oh, here's my bear story.
No, I think you have melodies, right? You have, like,
You can't just make it poetry and think I'll be...
You're a two-trick pony.
Okay.
No, it's like, oh, I'm going to sort of have this energy in the conversation or this kind of energy. Or like, I'm going to be joking in this way or joking in that way. And like, you're used to joking with me in a certain way. And sure. If you meet someone who you can joke with similarly... They're
then
not,
I don't need you anymore. Oh, you, just, no, you no, don't that's need not me. What you're going to say.
And then I can finally be alone. They're not me, even if it's a similar joke styling, so it won't be the same. It'll be different, and then you'll get like a whole new flavor on this, like, this fusion.
To make it totally about improv.
Okay, damn it.
I know you hate
yes,
this.
And.
Yes, and.
We did it.
You know, you can bring the same initiation a million times, and assuming you're not doing garbage improv, yes, you're right. Each person is going to bring a different thing.
Right.
But most of the time, I feel like I am excavating them.
Ooh, I like that. That's
nice.
Interesting.
Yeah,
like yeah.
That?
I
like pulling shit. Like, I feel like I'm pretty good at getting strangers to tell me their secrets. And I don't mean that in like a malicious way. I mean that in like a I have occasionally will have an interaction with a stranger where they'll be like, yeah, and you know, it's funny you say that because like, yeah, my sister, she's going through a really hard time, and then it's just like, blah, 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 and like, and I don't know, I've been wondering who I really am, and you know, and I sometimes that's like,
I had
oh,
a dream where I kissed my dad, but he had a dog's face. What do you think that means, man? And you're 6 hours in, and the
like,
opium's
whoa.
Still smoked. Sammy, you were about to say something
there
before
was something
oh,
good.
I'm totally disregarding that. Do you? Oh, flip. What was it? Shucks. Hold
you're
on.
Allowed to well, cuss on my podcast.
This is how I speak.
Gersh darn it.
Ah.
Jiminy Cricket.
Phalanges. What the fuck? Oh, goddammit. What was it? I said, shit. What were you just talking about?
Excavating.
Excavating.
People?
Yeah. Do you listen more than you talk?
With strangers. Like,
mm-hmm.
We're talking new ass friends.
Oh, here's the actual question.
Yeah.
How do you feel about small talk?
I don't feel bad about it. I think I usually can get outside of basic small talk.
You can get outside of it because you don't like it?
I just mean I can go deeper. Does that...
Do you use the small talk as an intro to it, or do you
sure.
just sort of like...
Yeah. I mean, you've seen me meet people. I'll talk about anything. Like, you know, you're climbing. Oh, yeah, we were trying to do this. We were trying to do that. I keep on coming back to climbing because while I've been in California, I keep on just meeting tons of people
climbing,
who are climbing. And what I like about that is they're not all like actors. They're all kinds of different people. I met a guy in the sauna at the climbing gym who was down just for a day for work from San Francisco. And he works for DeviantArt to like remove unwanted posts from it.
Gross cartoon porn.
Yes, mostly gross cartoon porn. Yeah, gross cartoon porn.
What else would there be up on
DeviantArt? But we got into this really interesting conversation about like, well, like where are the boundaries of art? What does DeviantArt consider art? Like, what are their guidelines? And then like, how does it feel for him to, you know, have to potentially look at some graphic stuff all day? And how does he deal with that? And this, we were in the sauna together for 5-10 minutes.
Wow.
15 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I was answering a question, but I wanted to share that.
I think we were talking about small talk. Yeah.
Because that feels like a moment where we started talking about probably nothing, like, oh man, it's hot in this sauna, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say, what do you do is not a very interesting question, and I would imagine it probably started with that, and then that led me to another question. It's like I'm immediately interviewing.
Yeah,
Like, I have a lot of questions about Sammy that I could ask.
Don't.
Okay, great.
They remain a mystery.
Sammy, yeah, that, why don't you want me to
it
ask
is, questions? It is strange, I think, that of the two of us, I'm the one who does an interview podcast.
Yeah.
I think it's because I do really find people incredibly interesting. I just don't want to meet you out in the world necessarily.
You
want to
control it a little bit.
I want it
it's
a little.
On your terms.
It's on my terms, and then, like, you never know when someone's going to throw you that curveball. That's like,
what would that be?
Oh, like, by the way, you know, I think the globalist Jews really are in charge. Or, like, the earth is
flat. I mean,
flat.
We should really consider this, though.
Okay, that's fair. That one was maybe something would have felt weird about 2 years ago, but now not so weird. But, like, if somebody just throws you some curveball, like, the earth is flat mid-conversation, and then you're like, well, fuck. I mean,
well, what do you do?
Do I smile and nod at this person? Or do I, like, try to tell them why they're wrong, or like, do I just, you know, avoid it? Or let's say it's something different, like, because the earth is flat is like, while that's dumb, it's not necessarily harmful. Like, let's say they say some harmful shit, like they are, oh, they're a Nazi, or they say something awful about women, uh-huh. right? Or like they talk about some like evil feminazi or something.
So then there's like a danger in potentially having to address a serious issue.
Right. I feel like
with a stranger,
anybody could be that serious issue where you have to be like, huh.
Is that, first of all, do you really think that would happen as much, or is it just not even worth?
I feel like
the danger of like the 1 in 20 or whatever.
It is high enough that 1 in 20 is probably likely. Like, one of the last times
I
remember.
See, I think most people just, they're not going to show their colors.
One of the last times I remember like having a conversation with a stranger was in a coffee shop when Michelle had first moved to, no, it was when I had first moved to LA and my girlfriend.
So super long time ago.
Super long time ago, like 3 years ago or something, 3.5. And my girlfriend was visiting before she moved out here. We were in a coffee shop and this older guy, right, started talking to us. Seemed like a kind old dude. And he was just talking to us about like, oh yeah, you know, I'm growing stuff in my garden. And, you know, I'm starting to make like a ground well because, you know, eventually like the United States is like, going to go to shit because, you know, 9/11 was an inside job and I'm going to need water somehow for like when the city falls apart and I have to escape. And it's like, right, this is why I don't do this. Like, this is why I don't talk to strangers, because like now I'm stuck in this conversation with this weirdo.
Could you not get out of it?
We were like, had just gotten our coffee. Right. And like,
so couldn't you have just been like, hey, oh yeah, it's so nice talking to you. We're going to go chat. We got some stuff.
I mean, I guess we could have done that. Michelle and I are both like,
how long did you talk to him?
We just listened to him for like 5 more minutes, which is like a long time when somebody's ranting about bullshit. It's like a really long time. And like now I'm a little bit more of a confident person and like would I be like, stop. Right? Like do I want to do that with someone out in the wild? Like just stop talking. You know?
Have you?
I haven't, but I don't
think
I want to.
Is there a slightly more polite way you could have done that?
Yeah, but it still feels like it's a hidden. I feel like then I'm lying to them.
Like, I want to coach you on this,
right?
Because I want it to be such that if I like gave you the tools, you could be like, okay, I know what to do in these uncomfortable situations that are preventing me from getting the most from strangers. So if I gave you the tools,
okay,
I mean, I don't.
What are the tools?
Well, for one, I'm just saying, I don't know. Maybe don't say stop talking.
My mom actually did that once, and it was the proudest I've ever been of my mother.
Fuck,
we were on a food tour, and this woman started talking to my mom about how this place we're going to used to be great, now it sucks. And my mom turned and was like, "I don't want to talk to you about that. I don't want to talk to you." And the woman just like walked away. And then my mom just didn't feel shitty at all. She just went back to her life. And I was like, wow, my mom is a fucking hero. Like, that's such a cool thing. It's not a thing everyone should do. But when you see it happen, there's a part of you that's like, I don't want everyone in the world to live that way. But I'm amazed that I just saw someone do that so confidently. Like, what balls to just do that to a person.
Yeah, mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, mom.
Yeah, mom.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. I don't think every interaction is a positive one, and nor do I need it to be. I had an Uber driver the other day, or Lyft driver, or something, who, we had a perfectly friendly conversation, kind of about acting. His nephew is a screenwriter, whatever, whatever. And then right at the end, he was like, well, are you Jewish? And I was like, oh boy. Luckily, I was like a block from where I was. I was like, I could make it if I had to run. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, oh, then don't worry about it. I was like, what? And he was like, well, because you'll be taken care of. You know, you just have to get in. And I was like, what? He's like, get into Hollywood, you know. And then, like, you know, because you're Jewish, they'll take care of you. It was not delivered at all maliciously. And I was like, I don't really think that's true because I would have hoped it. Yeah. I would have gotten something from being Jewish, you know, by now.
So far.
And he, you know, and he was like, no, it is. It is. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't really agree with you on that one. Okay, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Have a nice day. But like, I mean, I think it's really funny that that guy's out there.
Sure.
The guy looks like Clint Eastwood, unsurprisingly, now that I think about it.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Of course someone who would say that
I was like, this
like
is funny, this guy. Oh, no, not so weird.
This liberal hero, Clint Eastwood, feminist icon, Clint Eastwood, would say such bullshit. Yeah, all right.
I mean, I've been bummed out by strangers.
This has been awesome. This has been a really good conversation.
Hey, if nothing else, it's nice to just hang out with you, baby.
Yeah, now you're making me sad because you're going back to New York.
Hey, I'll come back.
Yeah, no, I know you will. You're bi-coastal curious.
Yeah. No. East Coast curious.
Okay.
No, East Coast flexible was the term.
That
was
that's
the
one I like. You're East Coast flexible. Can you please give us some plugs? And is there a thing that has nothing to do with you that you think people should know about?
Oh, okay. Well, plugs. Follow me on Instagram at...
He's got a very good Instagram presence.
I was like, it's not a great name. It's an okay presence. Yeah. More Nathaniel, please. MORE NATHANIEL, please. That's on Instagram. I'm not on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, whatever. You should come to the next A+N show. That's Alex and my sketch show that is not planned.
It's not planned, but what's the thing that doesn't have anything to do with you?
I was still plugging.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. What's something that's really cool that has nothing to do with me?
I guess. Oh, also they can see our videos on...
Oh, yeah.
Are they still up on YouTube?
Probably.
Yeah, all right.
Go to A+. It's spelled out. A+N comedy?
Yeah.
I think that's the channel. There's like some up on, you know, Funny or Die. You ever heard of it? Hey, guys, you should check out this really cool thing called Funny or Die.
It's amazing.
It's this website where people put up really funny content. And then you get to vote.
Here's the thing, though, about our sketches. It's been years since we've made them, and I still firmly believe in them. They're very funny.
I think they're good. They are. There is a meta-comedical?
Meta-comedy, I guess?
Yeah, sure. Meta-comedy element to it.
We're weird. We make weird shit.
But they bring us joy.
So much, and that's why you should see them. What's your thing?
There's a documentary that came out recently. You might be able to still catch it in theaters. About this climber Alex. What is it? Haman?
Sounds right.
It's about him free soloing, which is climbing alone without any ropes or anything. The face of El Capitan in Yosemite, and it is really cool, and it's beautifully shot, and it will make you sweat when you see how high up he is just with a pair of shoes on and a chalk bag. You should really check it out. It will both make your stomach turn and get you super excited about achieving a goal.
Sammy, you've been a big presence in this one. Say hi.
Hey.
Okay, do you have pitches?
Do you want to plug? Here, can I do this part?
Yeah.
Hey, Sammy, where can we find you?
I am It Your Sam on Instagram.
Oh, that's
IT underscore YOUR underscore SAM. I'm also on Twitter, SAMEEJUNIO. Don't add me on Facebook.
Yeah. Don't add me on Facebook. I didn't make that clear when I said
don't.
That.
Yeah, just don't do it.
Unless we're like friends.
Anything that has nothing to do with you that you want people to know about?
And you
want to
take less time to figure it out? I'm vamping for you right now.
I can also cut it out.
Yeah, go to A+. N on YouTube.
You, Sammy.
Thank
Strangers
you, Sam.
Are terrible. I take it back.
Take it all back.
I take it all back.
For me, I'm Alex Schiffman. This has been At Least There's This, a podcast about some of the small good things in our garbage, ugly world right now.
Strangers.
Okay, enough of that. If you guys liked this episode or anything else that I've made, please share it with a friend or a stranger.
Or a stranger.
A thing that I think you guys should all check out that has nothing to do with me is this amazing documentary called The Most Unknown. It is the pinnacle of science documentaries I've ever seen. It's by Science Sandbox. They have 9 scientists. They start with 1. This scientist,
and they battle,
and then they
death.
Battle to the death. This scientist goes out of like their field and meets a scientist who does something else, and they just like talk for 10 minutes, basically strangers. Then they just sort of daisy chain all the way around,
bringing
it all the way back.
Are they playing telephone? Are they sharing their stranger knowledge?
Kind of, a little bit.
Okay.
It's fantastic. It's so good.
What's it called? It's
called The Most Unknown. I was smiling and tearing up the whole time.
And he doesn't know how to do. Either
I don't know
of
how to do
things.
Either of those things. It hurt my face and my eyes. You can find me on Twitter at least pod. Say hey if you're on Twitter. It's nice to know there are people out there. And what else? If you are looking at somebody from, say, across a climbing gym, and you really want to just ask them what their deal is, what's going on, man, but you can't work up the courage to do it, do this for me. Pull out your phone. Find At Least There's This on the iTunes page. Don't do anything weird. Find At Least There's This on the iTunes page. Give me 5 stars. Put your phone away. And with the idea of Nathaniel in your head, just go up and ask them how their day is.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.